Now we're good. All right. Sorry, I accidentally started trying to record it to the cloud instead of a hard drive. Welcome, Thursday Warriors, to the Toddcast. Everything that you want in life brought to you by the guys at New Dimension Comics.
And some of the things you don't want.
That's also true.
Would that be me?
No, that's usually one of us or both of us.
Yeah, it's usually us. We're the problem. We are joined tonight by one of my favorite artists and creators, and I consider friends in the area, Howard Bender. And he has done a ton of stuff in his life. He has lived a full creative, comic-filled life. And I love everything this guy touches. And he has done some amazing stuff for us, which we will talk about, like this. He actually did the lines on that. We're going to hear the story of that in a little bit. But first, we need to talk about some stuff coming up at the stores real quick, just so we have some time while people catch up onto the feed. So firstly, Free Comic Book Day. It's coming up. It's coming up fast. Yep. First weekend or first Saturday of May. It's going to be nuts. We have 501st guys. We have Pittsburgh Avenger guys. We have some other creators coming to both Waterfront and Mills. And then I think we have a couple guys coming to the Butler store as well. And I think we have a couple local creators out in Ohio. So Cranberry and Elwood, no love for you. But still come out, get your comics, check it out. It's going to be crazy. We do one of each one for anyone that wants to come in, but if you're really not going to read it, we just ask you don't take it so that we can, make sure we have some for somebody else. Yep. Exactly. So, there's that. Then we have the Kryptonite beer up in Butler. We're doing that again. That'll be May 15th. Howard, if you're not doing anything that day and you want to draw on some bottles, come on up to Butler. I'm sure Todd will love it. It is pink kryptonite this year, I believe. So that'll be kind of cool. Pink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because we did green, then we did red, and now I think we're doing pink.
I did a pinup of all the colors for kryptonite once.
Oh, yeah?
I do not remember pink. But it may be there.
It's been a while. Yeah.
I didn't either. I assumed it was just kind of a light, lesser-powered red. I don't know. But then after that, the big deal, Three Rivers Comic Con. First weekend of June, downtown at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center.
So stoked.
I have not gone a day without at least 10 people just messaging me and being like, dude, I'm really excited about this show. I can't wait for this to happen. And I'm like, me too. Please just bring all your friends. We want this to be.
And strangers off the street. Yeah.
That too. I mean, I don't care. Whatever. As long as you pay for the registration at the door, I don't care. But we want to pack it. We're going to be downstairs in one of the halls. There is not a lot of room for extra. They are 10-foot walkways, and there's a lot of vendors. There are a lot of artists. There's some of the biggest creators' names in the world coming. Howard Chaykin, Rick Leonardi, Howard. I actually might make a row of Howards.
Yes.
Okay. We'll call it the Highway to Howard, or the Howard Highway.
Highway. Ron Friends, Brett Breeding, Justin Jordan, Dan Mendoza, oh man, like just so many good dudes that are coming. And ladies. Yeah. Maria Wolf is coming, yes.
Sora gonna be there.
And Sora will also be there.
A lot of powerful local artists will also be there.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy like how people don't really realize how
absolutely
comic book focused Pittsburgh is, like how much we really have in depth in there. And it's nuts. Like even some of the newer guys like Dave Wachter, Tom Scioli, Robert Hack, they're all like, Pittsburgh guys. Yeah. And we're real excited.
When's the Kryptonite thing again?
May 15th in Butler from noon to 3.
May 15th, yep. Ron, from in Butler, noon to 3. He was asking about it.
I see he asked about tickets and shirts. All right, so we're going to talk about this real quick so that we can start interviewing Howard.
Right.
Tickets are on sale now. You can go on to threeriverscomiccon.com right now, and you can fill out what you want, and you can have them sent to your phone as a text, or you can send them as an email. The email, it's going to send it to you one time. If you get it as a text, it's going to send it to you again the day before the show. And if you have like an Apple wallet or whatever Google and Samsung have that's a similar thing, you can put it right in there and save it. And you're good to go until the show. And then you get in line. We're going to walk around, scan your phone or your paper ticket, give you your wristband. Off you go.
Wristband and
it is cheaper to do that now than it is at the show. And then when it comes to shirts, which by the way have Howard's art all over it, which I was on a bike ride today with a friend of mine, and I was talking to him about that shirt. He just goes, dude, there's nothing more Pittsburgh than what that is. And I'm like, I'm going to make sure I tell Howard that tonight, because I have the guy that drew that on with me. And that's a comment we get a lot. But if you want that shirt, it's $20 to get a small to an extra large, and then extra, extra large and triple X are $25 each. Pre-order it now at threeriverscomiccon.com/merch. And it is on there, and you can pick them up at the show. If you are a local person and you cannot pick it up at the show, we have everybody's contact information. So anyone who doesn't pick up their shirt at the show, we will contact after the show and figure out how to get it to you. Which means if you want it mailed, you're paying an extra charge. So just come to the show and pick it up. So it's going to be a good time.
And right. I'll sign any shirt they give me. I'll sign all the shirts if they want to. They want my signature on the shirt, I'll be happy to do it.
This is why I bought myself an extra shirt, just for that. Like, cause I'm going to get you and Andrew and Justin to all sign it, cause you're the three guys that worked on it.
Awesome.
So, there will also be posters available of that, print available. They're going to be like $1 to $3, and you'll be able to have those guys sign that too if you want it. It's going to be really cool. I'm really excited. I might actually frame one for the first time ever. I'm excited. So, all right. So let's talk to Howard. Welcome, Howard. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad that technology was not too crazy for you. when we initially talked, you're like, can we do this like 10 minutes earlier just to make sure? And I'm like, absolutely. So
no matter what, I always have a little trouble logging on to Zoom for some reason. I've done a lot of Zoom, but every time it seems a little different. But eventually I'm going to get it all down. It'll all work out.
That's awesome. All right. So, first, I guess, tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you grew up, like how you ended up getting into comics, and then we'll move into your comic career, then your cartooning career, and then we'll talk about the Three Rivers poster.
Wow. Okay. Well, I grew up in Highland Park, my East Liberty, East End. And I could hear the lions roar at night before I went to bed. That's because the zoo was like a mile away, but I could still hear them. You could hear them like reverberating off the hills there. And
that's crazy.
One time my babysitter came in and handed me a bunch of comic books. I remember vividly one had the Submariner on it running towards me with Sue Storm. So that was something. And what year was that?
Oh, that book? Oh, I don't even know. That would have been.
And there were a lot of Donald Ducks and Mickey Mouses also. They were always around the house.
I mean, it had to be at least the 60s because Mariner didn't cross with Fantastic Four until then, right?
Well, I think she was a friend, more of a babysitter. That's it. Okay, anyway. I've always enjoyed comic books. I enjoyed the pictures and the artwork. I got to know who the artists were over the years. And I learned how to read with comic books. They were an introduction to reading. And I think there was a store in town down on Wood Street, right next, well, like very close to the Record Mart. Remember that down there? You guys go back that far? National Record Mart?
National Record Mart. Yeah.
Yeah. That was down in the, down there, downtown. And there was a bookstore down there that I would go to pick up comic books. I think it was Snyder's or something like that. It's no longer there, of course. And I take the bus downtown for that. So what else do you want to know? Back in this, like in 1972, when we would go to Manhattan, like every other, we would go to New York, like every other year for a vacation, like, especially when the New York World Fair was there, 1964.
To see like the actual Teen Titans Tower thing, like when that happened. I've driven by that.
I don't think it was there, but I must have missed it. Anyway, we would make trips to Manhattan. I would always make an effort. We would always stop in and see DC Comics and Marvel Comics. So that was always something to see that. And I got to meet some of the artists that way. DC was huge. And when we went back in 64, and Marvel was like one room, an apartment.
Oh, wow.
And I remember, if you remember the Steve Ditko Spider-Man poster, not the one that came out later, but because it was similar, but I'm talking about the, you know, the one that Steve did, and then later on someone drew over it. The same pose and everything. Yeah. They had the original Steve Ditko poster hanging up on the door. When you walked in, you closed it, you could see it was hanging right there. And I got, Marie Severin and John Romita were sitting like in the middle of the room with all the furniture and whatever around. And we sat down and they talked to me like, for some reason, they let me and my mother into the room and let them talk to me. It was pretty cool. And they all drew a little sketch, Captain America and the Hulk, so to speak. That was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What an experience. I don't think you'd be able to do something like that today, huh?
Well, you wouldn't be able to do it in New York. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's even a little, like Marvel's still, I think, technically in New York, technically, right? Okay. I think. Well, or at least they still have an office in New York.
It's been a while since we've been there. Oh, and remember when, I don't know if you remember this, but Jim Shooter was a big, also an influence on my career to get into comics, because he made all the local papers when he started writing comics.
Right.
And, you know, that was in the paper. And then everyone would come up to me and say, you know, this guy's writing comics. And we were exactly the same age. So it was very inspiring.
So you're like 13, 14 going, oh, crap, I really got to get on my game.
Yeah, I really got to get on the ball here. There's somebody else doing this already.
Man, that dude in the South Hills.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I got to meet Jim a couple times. He tells that story very well of the whole phone call, and then having to be like, "How old do you think I am?" And then like two minutes of silence, and then put your mom on the phone. it's a really, really fun thing. That's awesome. I didn't realize that you were like that close in age to him. So he was like already at DC for a couple of years then before you got there for sure then.
Well, I don't know. You may have worked from home. You know, you could do that. You didn't always have to come into the city. I'm sure I can't speak for him, but I'm certain that he went into the city at least a couple of times, but you know, he could mail in his scripts. And this was before fax. I don't think you could have faxed them back then.
So How did you go? So once you know, you go into the city, you're going to Marvel, you're going to DC. Where does it go from there? Like for you, like,
well, I kept building up my collection and reading a lot of comics. And then I started out as a DC fan because Superman was on TV all the time. The Avengers with George Reeves. So I started picking up Superman a lot and then Batman. And I started imitating when I was a child, I started imitating Bob Kane's style of drawing because I thought I could see how simplistic it was. And I thought I could grasp it easier and able to do that. And then everybody in school said, you got to start reading these Marvel comics because they're incredible. And I said, well, you know, and I picked them up one day and I said, and I looked at it and it, all the color printing was all out of the lines. And I'm thinking, well, this didn't look very high tech, you know what I mean? But eventually I saw through that and I really started loving the stories. And then the way Stan would write, he made you feel like you were like part of everything. And he did that with all the books. And it was like you felt like you were like a part of something or a part of a big group of people who really liked the same thing. And that's because what Stan, his narrative would do and make you feel that way, especially in his letter columns and things like that. And I joined the, I joined this.
Wow.
Back in the day. I still have the whole kit and the envelope. Wow. I'm one of those kids that never threw anything away. To the regret of my mother and my wife.
And you helped found some comic group in Pittsburgh too, didn't you?
Yes, we founded a group in 1972. Eyes was the first comic book store that opened up. And Ben Pondexter was we all told Greg that he wanted to start a club. So every time people would come in, he'd tell everybody about it. And then we all got together. We would have monthly meetings like the second week in every month. And then we decided we would start having conventions he really wanted to make a fanzine. So we started working on fanzines and things like that. And then we went as a group. I remember one year we all crowded into one station wagon. We had to hunch over. Like I was in the back and there were like eight other people in the car, at least eight, might have been more. And we drove from Highland Park to Manhattan. And didn't complain at all. There was nobody complaining because we were that excited to get to this Bill Sewing convention for July. And we had costumes and everything. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, made all the costumes. We were the X-Men the first year we were there. And not the X-Men you know now, but the ones with the blue and yellow costumes.
Yeah.
Who are you? Which one did you go with? I'm going to get Cyclops.
I was the Cyclops.
Nice.
Yeah, that was fun. Nice. We just had such a blast. And there's so many people in the club that just went on to do great things. It's just amazing all the great people that came out of that club. And we were all very close. It was just an amazing thing. And then every year we had a convention. I don't know. First year we had a convention, 73, Stan Lee was the guest.
Todd told me this story. I don't know if he was there or if he came across like flyers or if he just remembers it happening. But I remember Todd telling me about this group and this convention. And because what was the name of the group? Wasn't it like Three Rivers something?
No, like, the Pittsburgh Comics Club with an X.
Okay. Because like he was telling me about, like, I don't know if he has like a collection of the newsletters or.
Oh, good.
He came across a bunch of them at one point or something, but he said it was really crazy to be like, these guys got Stan Lee at their very first convention. Like, it was just nuts.
Well, it gets even crazier. I'm going to let you in on something I don't tell everybody. Pay attention. Stan Lee was our first guest, and Ben Pondexter did me a solid, and I did the club the whole solid. He arranged that we would have lunch with Stan.
That's great. He
told me, I was an art school at the time. I was at the Ivy School of Professional Art, which is no longer there. I went to Ivy because it had the word professional in it, because I wanted to be a professional artist. Right. I just said it got art. So I didn't go to Art Institute, which was my mistake. Because, I did learn a lot at the Ivy. You know who did? Oh, I'm digressing a lot now. You know who did go to the Art Institute? Paul Galassi. He was from Ohio. And he was in there. And we would meet for lunch every once in a while. And he would show me all the things that he was doing. Because he was working. He would go out to Reading, Pennsylvania, or wherever Jim Steranko was living. He would travel out there and he would, converse with Jim and Dan Atkins, because Dan was working with him at that time. And then he'd come back, and his style was very similar to Jim's. I don't know if you remember that, but it was really very similar. And he was just so much more advanced than I was. He was awesome. Such a great artist. And he had such a wonderful career. Anyway, where was I? Oh, Stan Lee. So we had lunch with Stan, and Ben told me to bring my portfolio. And my portfolio was like this big and this high. It was up, and it had like plastic sleeves. So during dessert, Stan was, done. We were just so enthralled with everything he had to say. So during dessert, I reach under the table, pull out my portfolio and plop it in his lap. And that shows you how much nerve I had. And I asked him, so I want a job at Marvel. How do I get a job? And in traditional Stan Lee style, he says, I really don't do the hiring. I'm going to believe that. But
right.
I was so nervous at the time. I knew that I didn't want to press him too hard. So I said, okay. But less than 6 months later, I was working up at Marvel in the production.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of, it was fun.
So was that your
Ivy? And the first thing I did was move to Manhattan. Nice. Right after I got out of school. And one of the club members had a brother that was living in Manhattan. And he let me crash there for like 3 months till I got a job. I got my job, first job at Marvel in October. And I went and got an apartment, $250 a month in Manhattan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was thinking like rate of inflation, that's probably like a $2,000 a month.
Oh, no, it's more than that. It was on 12th Street and 2nd Avenue. The 2nd Avenue Deli was right across the street from where I live. Living, and they have apartments there now that don't. You have to. It's like $5,000 a month for an apartment.
Jeez.
Not in my building. I don't know how much that is, but they put up new buildings and things. It's just crazy there. I don't know how people live there. Seriously, yeah. And so one of the best things about it. I would save money. I would walk from 12th Street all the way up to 57th Street to the work. I would do that every once in a while, mostly just walk back down at night. And Neil Adams said that I should start doing life drawing. So I enrolled in the Art Institute or something like, they had an art school on 63rd Street, I think, near the park. Mm-hmm. And I would go up there twice a week And we had a really nice, a really very informative life drawing coach. He worked with Bridgman. I don't know if you know who Bridgman is, but he's one of the icons of figure drawing.
And he has a whole series of books, I think, on figure drawing. Right. I have one somewhere.
Good. Then you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Okay. The thing of it is that Bridgman's book has all gone into a common. So almost anybody now can publish those books, unfortunately for him. Anyway, one of his students was my teacher. So I'm sort of related and linked in that way to that. And that was fun. And I worked on, the first day I got a job at Marvel, my first day, I also got a job at Warren Publishing. So I worked at both of those places for a while until, because I was on probation at Marvel. And it worked out with Marvel because they were paying more and they were giving me more work.
That's good.
And they were going to, put me on staff and salary and benefits and things like that. But before that, I worked on the Warren convention that they had. One of the things I did all the, I worked on their posters and things like that. I didn't do that much for Warren. I did like paste ups, all the balloons. They had a thing called a waxer. You'd run the work through a waxer, and one side would get all waxed up and hot, and then you'd cut it out and then slap it down on the artwork. That was crazy. Some of this artwork that and Bill Dubay let me take home, because I did this at home. He let me take home like artwork by masters. The master, you've seen all that black and white stuff that they did in the 70s.
Yeah,
I took that home, and he didn't even know where I lived.
So all these stories of like stuff going missing, it's really just been at your apartment the whole time, right?
No, first of all, there's no way I would take anything that fit like that, because I really loved working in the industry and I didn't want to screw it up in any way like that.
Right.
Besides, I couldn't take anything that didn't belong to me. I was a Boy Scout, for crying out loud.
Eagle Scout.
Same. There you go. See, they give you morals. Awesome. They give you more. Yeah. Anyway, it was fun.
Right. Oh, that's kind of like your foray into your doorsteps into like the big two, right? That's kind of like really how you got into working in like the Marvel DC mainstream comic industry at that point, right?
Well, I got a job at Marvel and DC at the same day, on this very same day.
Oh,
and
wow.
Also, I went around, I interviewed for Marvel, DC, Harvey, and Archie, because they were all located in Manhattan. And Marvel was the first, and then the same day, Warren also. And it was Bill Dubay and Danny Crespi at Marvel that really opened the door for me. And they were pretty good guys.
That's awesome.
And I remember one day we were working on the convention at Warren, and Jim Warren came in with a sack of McDonald's for everybody. That's one of my memories. One of my memories that I have of working there. Oh, another memory. Oh, this was something. This would blow your mind. Bill Dubay, one day, I must have done something right. Bill Dubay said to me, "You can go in the Captain Company and I'll give you 10 minutes. You walk out with anything you want." So Captain Company was a room the size of somebody's bedroom, a small bedroom.
Yeah.
And it had metal shelving, the shelving that you construct and put together all around all four walls. So I went around, I got a Vampirella poster, cousin, I got all three of those guys. And
everything you can.
I got memberships, and I got something that was even Bill Corbin. He did a cousin, Creepy, I think it's Creepy, or Eerie. No, mm-hmm. Creepy was anyway. He did an art piece of art which became a print, and I found out later that this print was very valuable because it never went up. People never saw it, so it was pretty crazy on that.
That's awesome.
Anyway, anything you want to learn? Anything you want to ask about Marvel or DC during the 70s?
Oh. I mean, there's a lot that I don't have that kind of time right now. People can ask you that stuff at the show. What we will ask you is if you want to highlight a couple of the titles that you worked on when you were there.
Well, I started out in doing the comic books in production. Oh, like the first week, this was crazy. So many great things happened when I was there. To me, anyway.
I kind of wish I would like lived in the 70s now. So or was I'm like old enough.
Sitting down at my little desk in the bullpen working on corrections. And in comes Dan Atkins. It's his first day. He started a staff job at Marvel.
Okay.
And he needed a temporary place in the bullpen. So he sat down right next to me. And remember how I had the nerve to talk to Stan Lee with my portfolio? Well, I didn't lose that. So I asked Stan if he would draw me a Submariner. I guess he thought I was somebody there or something, because he pulls out a blank piece of 11 by 17 paper, you know, that everybody drew on. He pulls one out, gets a brush, goes in his mouth and, you know, twirls it around, dips it into an inkwell, and starts drawing the Submariner standing there with a cape. In about 5 minutes later, it was done. It's a beautiful piece. I still have it. I don't have it right handy to show you. And then he signed it to Howard Bender, my special staff friend or something like that.
That's
and
awesome.
ever since then, we became pretty close friends, and he would help. Like if I ever had an art question or anything like that, he would he would talk to me. And the same thing with eight. And I have to tell you this, everybody that worked up at Marvel, they were all the sweetest, nicest people, especially when it came to me and asking them about art. I would, you know, because they all knew I wanted to draw. So I started doing pinups and covers for the British department, which I started working in later. And I would go to John Romita, look over his shoulder, and then I'd ask him about how I could improve this. And he would put aside just the covers that he was working on. The poor man, he was always so, I think he was his worst critic, because he was always so, he wanted to make sure everything looked just right. He was very, very meticulous like that. Anyway, and then he'd take a piece of tracing paper and trace over what I did and show me what I did wrong and show me what I should do, which was a lot, very helpful. And same thing with Marie Severn. Did I ever, you know, Marie Severn was like Marvel's aunt. If you wanted to have an aunt, Marie Severn would be the perfect one. She made sure that everybody that worked at Marvel got a hand-drawn birthday card every time their birthday came up. And then she'd send it around the office and everyone would sign it. It was awesome.
Oh my God, that's crazy. But it's awesome.
Well, you remember the thing she did for Foom where she drew the whole Marvel office? That was something. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez. Someone in the chat mentioned the Blood of Dracula 9 that you worked on. I don't know if you remember working on that.
I don't think I worked on, I didn't work on a Dracula, a Tomb of Dracula.
It says Blood of Dracula.
Blood of Dracula. But...
Oh, yes. Neil Vokes. That was Neil Vokes's book. He did that. I think Apple did it first and then it went on. He had a, well, Neil, when I moved to Jersey after I became freelancer, And I still got a lot of work, even though I moved to Jersey. And I got to know most of the Jersey people. You know, Neil, you know who was an apprentice for Neil? Who's your favorite good girl artist? Does a lot of covers. He worked. He did. He worked on Betty and Veronica for a little while when they first started.
Oh, crap! What is that dude's name? I know who you're talking about too.
Adam Hughes. The way I know it.
Yeah.
The way, you'll have to confirm this with Adam, but he was like an apprentice to Neil.
Yeah.
When he was coming up.
So, and you can tell, cool. Like, you know, you say that and I'm like, now I can see like in his art the Neil's influence on him.
Yeah.
Especially in like the line work, like in my opinion, like like not in the coloring for sure, because Neil's coloring is, whoever colors Neil's stuff is not the same as what Hughes does, but his figure forms and things are very, very similar. So yeah, I can definitely see that he was an apprentice.
Well, what I was saying is that there were a lot of artists in that time period that I got to know that lived in New Jersey. New Jersey is a pretty big state, but actually it's not as big as you think it is, especially Central Jersey where I was living. We were living down the shore. And Cherry Hill and things like that would be almost in the same district. So, and that's up where Neil was living in that area. And we had back before I left Jersey, they were having like shows every other week somewhere in Jersey. So you could always find a comic book show, which was crazy. And I had never had any trouble getting invited to be at a show in Jersey, which was nice. Oh,
that's awesome.
And we had a show that started out at the bowling alley in Asbury Park. That's
nice.
That's where Bon Jovi got his start, in this bowling alley. And my son also played there. But it was called the Asbury Park Convention. Then it became a Jersey convention after a while. And then just this year, I think the gentleman who was working on it said that he was no longer going to do the show. But I got to do their show a couple of times, which is nice.
Well, I know Cliff Gabernath had done Asbury Park Comic Con a couple of years ago. Like, he ran that, and then he moved it to the Meadowlands up in Secaucus.
It's the Meadowlands. It was the...
It was definitely the Meadowlands. I was there for the first year in the Meadowlands. And they changed the name to East Coast Comic Con.
East Coast, right.
Yeah. Cliff's a friend. Like, he does that Rat Fink book. And then, like, he had some kind of crazy, like, eye surgery he had to have. And then, you know, with COVID and everything that happened, I'm pretty sure he said he's just not doing it anymore. Like, his health is just more important. And that's totally fine. I remember every time I go to New York Comic Con, I'd be walking up off the ferry, and there he'd be getting out of a cab with like these, him and two dudes, these giant bags of flyers for their show, and they would just be standing outside handing out the flyers.
It was a good show.
Oh, it was an excellent show. Yeah, I remember the first year there, I got to actually have some like one-on-one time with Neil Adams during setup. It was really very cool. Yeah,
I was there. The time I was there, he was there early. I remember coming in with Paul Kupperberg, and Neil was already set up and ready to go, and he was just sitting there drawing. There was nobody around. The whole place was empty completely because we were like an hour or two early, just set up, and he was already there. So that, yeah, you're right.
That was, I think, the first. After that show, he would, every time he'd see me, he would just call me Pittsburgh.
And good for you.
And I was like, well, at least he remembers where I'm from. I mean, my name is pretty common, so like, you know that I'm from Pittsburgh. We're good.
I'm gonna start calling you Pittsburgh now.
Even though I'm not actually from here, I've lived here for 15 years. It'll be 15 years in July, and I do consider it my home.
We tried to send him back.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't really work. well, but no, I love it.
I wasn't born here either. I was born in Cleveland.
I got the first
2 years in Cleveland. Then we moved back here to our family was in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
That's where we lived. And I have to tell you that the town I grew up in was a really magical place for me. East Liberty and Highland Park was a real special place. Because I would just ride my bicycle outside all day and hang out with whoever. There were tons of kids around to play with and things like that. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And lots of comics. Everybody I knew when I was that young knew I liked comics. So when they were done reading their comics, they come to me and I give them a nickel and they would give me their comic.
Secondhand buying all day long. It's funny. We still give people a nickel a book sometimes. okay. You were way overpaying, sir. Way overpaying. No. All right. So you spent some time working at Marvel and DC, and then you kind of shifted careers into cartooning more heavily, correct?
Well,
and how did you get to that point?
Well, what happened was I knew Marvel was moving. Oh, what happened was, the British department went overseas back to Britain. It didn't go back to Britain. It went to Britain. It never right. was, actually. And we did all the production work here. I did produce about 8 books a week, every week for the British department because they were weekly books. So that, I don't know. I don't think we did 8 books. We did maybe four books a week. But, just to make sure we were ahead like that, I made sure that we kept up on it. And Danny Fingeroth was my boss, but then his boss later on became Larry Lieber. When Star Wars, we started reprinting all the Star Wars books. We did it the same time, pretty much the same time as the actual books were coming out, because it was a very hot property. We knew about Star Wars months before the movie came out. And Here's a funny story. Let's see. Archie Goodwin.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the editor of the Star Wars line. But he had some connection there. So after I saw the movie, I said to Archie, I said, that Han Solo guy is really, not good enough for the princess. What's her name again?
Leia.
Leia. Mm-hmm. Leia. She's not really good enough for Leia. She should, get more involved with Luke. And he gave me a look that he knew something, but I couldn't figure it out at that time. So he knew the origin story of that. Way wow. before anybody else did.
So you did did you work on any of the first 10 issues that Howard Chaykin also worked on then?
Well,
you would have worked on the British version, right?
Yeah. I did the British.
Yeah.
I did British and I did all the Zipatoni. I did all the tones, which was an amateur way of gray toning everything. You just take a Zipatone and an X-Acto knife, and you lay the Zipatone over the artwork. And the artwork was about this, the actual artwork that we sent over, was about this tall and this wide, and about the same size as probably exactly the same size that the book was printed at. So the dots were pretty fine, but you could still see them on the Zipatone. And then you'd cut out the area that you don't want, and the stuff that you want will stick down on the page. So that's how that worked. And I had boxes and boxes, and I had so much Zipatone, but when we moved from Jersey to Pittsburgh, I had like this many boxes of Zipitone, but I had to leave it in Jersey because I never thought I'd be able to, you know, have an excuse to use it again. So,
right.
But I sort of miss it now.
So that's basically like if we were to fast forward to the digital age, that's basically how layering was done back then, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And it's something. I'm not the only one that did that. It was like a rite of passage. If you worked for the British Department, that you were at one time going to sit down and cut Zipitone. Wow. Almost everybody that ever worked in the industry has done that. And Zipitone was pretty popular in the 70s. You saw it all over the place, especially in the color books, and most especially in the black and white books that came around, because it gave a certain flavor to the artwork that wasn't there in the 60s. Yeah, 1960.
So cool. That's awesome. Cool. So I guess then, how did you get from there to like into the regular cartooning work?
Okay. The British Department was going overseas, and at the same time, Marvel was moving downtown. They were carrying out the offices. They were, you know, cleaning out the offices. And they were moving down. I don't remember where. Somewhere downtown. It was near a park. It was pretty much like across the street from one of those little small parks that they have like in the middle of the highway or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm certain somebody out there remembers where it was. I mean, it was in the Indicia, you could tell. And this is the time when Jim was the editor-in-chief. Jim Shooter. So they were moving, and I was not going to have a job. So I started looking around, and at this time, Ernie Colon was doing a lot of work for Marvel because he was. Did you know that Ernie did a lot of work? I mean, a ton of work and like decades of work at a Harvey Comics drawing Richie Rich.
Did you not know that?
Yeah, I do now. he was a master at that. And he introduced me to the Harvey Company, and I started doing Richie Rich comics, which was very fortunate for me because the art director there who did all the art, Richie Rich books, he did all the covers. He was a master. He's a guy that made sure everybody drew in the character the same way, so to speak. And his name is Warren Kremer.
Okay.
And I didn't know his background as well as I should have because he started working at Harvey in the early 50s, very early 50s. And there was no Richie Rich or Casper the Friendly Ghost in the early 50s. But he did do a lot of ghost stories because horror comics were very popular at that time. So he did those pre-code horror comics for Harvey. And they, not all of them were that child friendly, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's hard to imagine you know, the man that personifies Richie Rich and Casper as doing these type of things, but he did. And so I do a story, a 5 or 6 page story every week. And I'd come in and he'd look it over and he'd say, you know, what I did wrong here. And he liked to tell me, you missed the boat on this one. Like, the joke I could have really hammered the joke home, so to speak, because everything was pretty physical. And the writer did not only did he write all the copy, but he had a, like a same size as a comic book. He would draw little sketches in there because it was so physical. All the jokes were pretty physical, so to speak. So you really got the idea how to really handle this. And, he was a genius. I forgot his name who wrote that stuff, but he really was extremely funny. Warren would always make me erase at least one panel of the story that I did and make me redraw it. Like, you missed a boat, so to speak. And then, so I got that opportunity. It was a real growth, time for me on that. And it was, I learned a lot about storytelling and drawing, things like that. Because storytelling for Richie was a lot different than storytelling like for Werewolf of Night, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, I imagine that's a very, like, different side of the coin, because yeah, you're going from trying to tell side. Like
a lot of people look down on that, but it really tells you how to streamline a storytelling. You get right down to the roots of it, and makes it so clear. You like clear, and you know it's all silhouetted and things like that.
Yeah.
So where were we?
Is that where you ended up getting into like the National Cartoonist Society type stuff? Because I know you work with that, right?
I did. That's another fortunate story. Kurt Schaffenberger, he's famous for doing Lois Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, when I lived in Toms River, New Jersey, he moved into Bricktown. He and his wife moved into a development in Bricktown, and we got together a lot. We became very close friends, actually. And Mark Boger, who wrote the book on, he did a biography on Kurt, and I helped him. If I was much of a writer, I would have helped a lot more, but I did help. Anyway, he was also a member of the National Cartoonist Society, and I would take him to the meetings. We had meetings once a month at a French restaurant somewhere in New Jersey. Oh, Spanish. I think it was a Spanish one. And we'd all sit down and we would draw caricatures. At the end of the night, we'd draw caricatures of the waiters and the people that worked there, and then, you know, give them out as tips, so to speak. And we always wore a suit and a necktie.
One
of these mock dinners. Yeah. It was a different time.
High end.
After the meetings, we'd always go over somebody's house and they would take out their artwork, and it was just so fantastic the way they could draw and paint. These guys were masters, and they were not just cartoonists, but they also did illustrations for books and a lot of advertising. Mm. And also they were fans of other artists, and they had a lot of art by the people they really admired, and they would talk about that. It was a real experience getting to do that, know all that.
I feel that's the artist equivalent to a jam session.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the old, like, hey man, check out this band, like, you know.
Type of thing. Yeah, one of the downsides, though, I will tell you this, one of the downsides to the dinners was, because I'm not a drinker, okay, you're getting the picture here, and they would split the bill. We didn't pay our own, but they would split it at the end of the night. So I always had, dinner was always around $50 a night, and I only ordered like maybe $20 worth of stuff.
Oh. Were you like, I'm just going to start ordering the best desserts and the best thing on the menu? Because that's
right. You have to go that way. Otherwise,
I'm getting the New York strip with the giant sundae and the milkshake and the coffee.
Don't forget the lobster.
And the lobster. Yeah. All of this together. Right over here. These guys are banned. It's fine.
Our favorite dessert, though, everybody got flan. I don't even know what that is, but it was flan. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of it.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody's favorite dessert was at these luncheons. Dinners, actually. They were dinners.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There was a lot of good stuff. And they were like, Joe Kubert would meet for dinner there every once in a while. And I can't remember everyone's name. I wish I could. But it was an experience, definitely.
That's so
cool. Anything else? Oh, that's how I got it. Well, then Kurt recommended me for the Ash National Card. You have to be nominated, recommended to become a member.
Oh, really?
During this time period.
Okay.
So I was recommended, and I finally got in, which was nice. And
that's awesome.
Oh, one year when we worked at Marvel. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see if I have this. Hold on.
Just gonna check the comments here. I love this, Howard. This is great. Ron Gamiss says, okay, who tells better stories, Ron Friends or Howard Bender? It may be a tie, just so you know.
Oh, here's some baby pictures. Here's Howard Simpson. Some baby pictures of him. Yeah, here he is drawing. Oh. Bunyak.
Wow.
He was a master character artist. This guy really inspired me to become a better character artist. He was really good. And at the shows, he really wanted to, he did actually do some work for Mad Magazine. Brian Bunyak.
Yeah.
There he is. Oh, there's Neil. Oh, this was our Mr. Fix-It Summit. The second issue of Mr. Fix-It, I had all my friends that I knew draw a page and then ink a page, and Kurt also inked a page, a couple of pages. And there's Neil. Oh, I wonder who that is. That's me.
Look at that.
Oh my God. Oh, there's Kurt and Brian. Those were the days. Oh, there's Kurt. Wow. Boy, those bring back memories.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, here. Here's a picture from Rutland, Vermont. They used to, I don't know if you remember back in the day, Neil did this Batman story with Death and his sickle on the cover.
Yeah.
And it took place in Rutland, Vermont. After I read that story, I went out and bought 4 or 5 copies of it, and I cut it up and I put it around the top of my ceiling. Well, not the ceiling, but the top of the wall, like a trim, so I could see it every day. And next year, I hitchhiked up to Rutland, Vermont.
What?
Wow.
To Rutland, Vermont. And at one point, I actually felt like I was in an EC story, because it got really dark, and I didn't know who I was driving with. And but it got a little scary.
Yeah.
But I did make it all the way up there to Rutland. And the year after, this came after the year, this is my wife, Joni, and I. She made these costumes. I'm Flash Gordon, and she's the Black Widow. And we're up at... Wow.
That's awesome.
We're up at Rutland. You know who else was up that year? Wendy Peeney, she was Crystal from the Fantastic Four, and her hubby was the Rich. Is that his name? Rich? I don't remember. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
So good.
I'm asking their forgiveness. he was the. I think he was the Vision. Vision was always a very popular cover. Oh, here we are, holding up our favorite comics. That's Ben Pondexter over here. This is Joan, my wife. She's holding up a copy of Richie Rich. And I've got a copy of Amazing Fantasy number 15, which to this day I do not own. I do not own. These comics were not ours.
Oh.
Oh, he's
I was going to be like, Howard, you're holding out on me, bro. Come on, man.
I've got a complete run of Spider-Man up to 300, and that's the only issue I don't have.
Wow.
This is a Justice Society of America comic, All-Star.
That's Ben awesome.
Ben was a force of nature. He got everybody, well, I sort of helped. But when I started working at Marvel in DC, I would tell everybody about the Pittsburgh Comics Club. And then eventually Ben would get in touch with them, and then they'd all come down to our conventions, like Len Wein, Marv Wolfman, of course, Jim Shooter, Maurice Severin, and almost everybody that worked up at Marvel came down to our conventions. Well, we had them every year up to pretty much up to the time when Ben passed away. He had a brain tumor, which was very, very, it was just a very bad thing.
I think I know why I remember this now. So I think because of how that was happening and how Pittsburgh became like some weird, like elseworld for DC and Marvel, Todd knew a couple people in that group, and then he started going with those guys. The couple of those guys, I guess, would go to Marvel in Manhattan on New Comic Day or Tuesday night, and he would go up there and just hang out with them at some diner that they always used to go to after work. And okay. then they would basically just sit there and talk about stuff that was coming out for months. Right. And so it was just up there, like basically just getting all the insider info, because they would just tell it was before NDAs were really that big of a thing. And he's just said he got to meet a lot of cool creators like that just because he knew some of the people in that club. Like that's super cool.
Very
all cool. Right. So let's talk about the Three Rivers poster and how this thing came to fruition. So I'm going to tell my part, and then we'll talk about your part in this. So my part is the day that we signed the agreement to do the show at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center the first time back in 2019, signing it for 2020 before the world shut down and everything got postponed and yada, yada.
I know that was freaky.
Oh,
did that actually happen?
I don't know, man. I turned 40, so I was 38 back then. I don't know.
Then you're still 38.
Yes. Yes. I am not even 40. This is great. So the actual sinkhole that happened, the first bust that made, you know, infrastructure noted in the world, that bus fell into that sinkhole basically across the street from the convention center between right. the hotel and the restaurants. And I'm sitting with Todd at the bar at this restaurant. I'm having a drink, waiting for my food, and I'm literally staring at the hole because they fixed it during COVID. And I'm like, oh my God, I have this brilliant idea, Todd. I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to have like, you know, sort of like an homage to Action One, where it's Superman like saving the bus from the sinkhole. I'm like, I don't know if it would work better to actually have him lifting it or pulling it or whatever, like flying and picking it up. I don't really know. I'm like, but I know exactly who I want to work on this, because I want to make this very Pittsburgh, and I want all these Pittsburgh area guys to work on it, because it is probably the most Pittsburgh thing I've ever created or helped create in my life. So I think I immediately text you about it and said, hey, I have this idea for a poster for the convention. I'd really love you to work on it. Can we meet can we talk on the phone or something? And you were like, absolutely. So I think the next day we talked on the phone and I gave you the pitch and you were like, I can do this.
Of course.
And you're like, I'll make a couple things. I'll proof it out and I'll send you some sketches. You know, I'm expecting like a couple like pencil sketches, like, but I'm going to show people stuff that have never shown more. I've shown a couple of my staff this, but I've never really shown anybody else these sketches. And these are what could have been leading up to the poster, and we'll talk about each one a little bit and kind of like how it worked out. So this is the first one, and I like this one a lot. My only concern when I saw it was I think their faces have too much fear, and I don't want people to fear the show.
Well, the thing is, we could have changed the space. I thought this was very reminiscent of a very early Superman, like Joe yeah. thing, Suster and things like that. And I really liked it because it, you could see Superman, well, Three Rivers Man, really struggling with this bus because, you know, back in the day, he didn't have all those powers.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was pretty sweet. So then we have this one, which I also like a lot. And I didn't really have that much of a problem with this one. I think this one might have been my second or third choice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think this one, it just seemed weird because he couldn't, like, I think it was because we couldn't really see the sinkhole because of the smoke. But I think it would have
gotten that was for across. Drama. I put that in for the dynamics.
Kids love smoke and chains. What can I say?
Yeah, what, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Then we had this one. This one, I think, is my second favorite.
Cool.
Because I really just thought it was funny that he was just kind of like having to like put a chain around it and almost be like a tow truck.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Those were my thoughts. This is a pencil and then ballpoint ink on top awesome. Of it. Yeah, awesome. It's a quickie. These were done very quick.
So, yeah, but I'm looking at this going, how, like, man, that had to take a while to do. Like, geez, like you had these done in like a day. This was crazy. Yeah. I was like, this guy's a beast. Like, then we had this one, which is kind of the reverse. The other one, similar vibe. I think I just like the other one better because he was kind of
right.
like, pulling on it.
I think you would have liked it.
Go ahead.
The thing is that the chain, I made the chain a little loose. You see, there's a sag in it. If I had made it taunter, yeah, I think it would have came off stronger.
I agree. I definitely agree. And then there was this one, and I was like, money. This is it. And it just screamed action one.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like, you know, it's weird because like I kind of took the bus in the sinkhole as kind of like how like other older Comic-Cons in Pittsburgh like kind of fell. Like, you know, Pittsburgh Comic-Con went under and sold to Wizard World and then they didn't really do anything. And we were trying to kind of bring that fan base back. So to me, this was kind of like the embodiment of doing that. And this just screamed everything that I wanted at it. So then I was like, yes, this is what I want. And then you went even crazier. And
I got more inspired, yes.
Oh, man. And this is what the actual pencils and inks look like.
This is still a rough.
Is it still the rough?
Okay. Yeah, this is not a finished product.
Well, okay. So this is one of the ones. This was close to the end one,
right?
So this is actually the one that kind of got real involved in. Like, you can see the Batmobile. You can tell who everybody is. And then I don't have the actual pencils then on here because I think the next frame I have is the poster.
Well, yeah. The thing is that there was a set, there was a car that was behind the bus that was sunk into the hole.
Yeah.
So I thought, let's make that the Batmobile. And then I thought I sort of made this like homage to Fantastic Four number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, there's a policeman on the corner and that he was in the first issue on the cover of the first issue of Fantastic Four. But a lot of the reprints of the Fantastic Four, the police officer is missing. So if you are if you notice these things, that's important. Sort of important.
That's awesome. Also,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, just so you guys know, this is the actual original printed flyer that has the 2020 dates on it. This never actually got to be released to the public with these dates on it.
No, my gosh.
Because we had it ready and then the world shut down. And I'm like, good thing I didn't use this yet. I really want to use this. And we got to use it for this year's show. But I remember what's that?
Oh, sorry. Did you print any of these up?
Not of the 2020. I do have 2022s for sure. And even our little flyer is that too. And you can pre-order your shirts. So do that. ThreeRiversComicCon.com/merch. It's right there.
There you go.
Pre-orders end May 1st. So get those in there. You got 2 weeks. But I remember the day you were like, all right, I got the art done. Well, how do you want me to give this to you? And I was like, well, like, you're a South Hills guy like me. We can meet for breakfast. So yeah, there we are at the doorstop. And I walk over. Oh, my God. It's so good.
It's a restaurant in Dormont.
Yep. And somebody just told me about a place on Brookline Boulevard today. Oak Grove? Oak something? That I should be checking out for, like, breakfast or lunch, just so you know, as well.
Oh, good.
It's, like, right by the place where they have the taco stand, kind of by Pita Land.
Oh, that's on Brookline Boulevard. Yes.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have lunch there sometime.
That'll be nice. I've enjoyed that. I would enjoy that. Also, the Arsenal. The Arsenal just opened up. Have you been there?
I have not been to that location yet, but I used to go there when that was the County National Bank. or Commonwealth Bank, whatever it was. That day, like, I'm walking over to there, and you had it in this brown, I don't have it here, I have it in one of the stores. It's like, actually, it was kind of like this, like a brown folded cardboard with tape. And then you, like, I was running a little late, so you drew Superman on it, and it just says, "For my pal John" on it. And I was like, see, no one can take this from me. It's got my name on it. And then we reached out to,
luckily you were late, otherwise I wouldn't have time to do that sketch.
I know. And then somebody could have stole it from me. It would have been bad. So I took it out to one of the stores. I scanned it. I sent it to the inker. That's Andrew Harmon. He did all the ink and colors. And we ran the colors by you to make sure that you liked it. It was cool. I sent the top part, or sent that then to Justin Birch. He did all the lettering on the top.
I thought he did an excellent, my God, you really brought back the flavor of that logo. You really did a great job. And so did the color. Beautiful.
Oh, everything about this worked out so well that, you know, here we are 3 years after the bus fell in the sinkhole, and we're still talking about the bus in the freaking sinkhole. It also helps that another bus took out a bridge, but whatever. I cannot thank you enough for making this. And it is so cool to have. And I will tell you, every single shop we've gone into to drop these off, every place, whether it's a comic shop, a library, I went to a couple music stores that have these now. Every single place just goes, holy crap, that art is awesome. And I'm just like, hey man, local people right here. get it signed at the show. You know, and we're just very, very happy with it. And I can't thank you enough for being part of that. Like, that's really, really cool to me. So.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you. I was honored that you asked me to do it. Believe me. I was so happy to do it.
I wasn't expecting it to end up being as busy as it ended up being, but every piece of it worked to bring the idea that we are a comic show to life. And I think that's important. Yeah, I think that was the big thing.
From the other shows that are here in Pittsburgh, that really separates you, makes you more comic. I mean, it makes you, and I that's why I'm into it, because of the comic books and things like that. It's nice to meet, for celebrities and things like that, but I'm really here, you know, I'd rather go to a comic book show than that.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping a whole lot of people feel the same way. So.
Go for it.
Yeah. And our pre-sale tickets are pretty good. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, we are in our seventh year of doing this.
And I know you guys have had me, and I'm so, it was so awesome that I got to do that. Like the first year I moved back to Pittsburgh, you guys let me come in. It was just so awesome. So nice that you did that. And that's why I did this. And like I said, if it helps sell any more tickets or whatever, I'd be happy to sign anything that has to do with the artwork. If you know, you have a flyer or something, you just come on into the show and I'll sign it for you. If that'll help you, come to the show. If that's help you motivate to get into the show, I'd be happy to do that.
That's awesome. I will also tell you something cool that we will be distributing these at a Pittsburgh Pirates game in May.
Oh my God. Awesome.
So your art will be floating around PNC Park.
they'll be flying around. The flyers literally flying. The flyers will be flying. Okay.
I mean, let's be fair. Half of them will probably end up in trash cans, but whatever.
At least the trash man will notice the show.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They'll be like, oh, that's right across the river.
Cool.
So, Tim, do you have anything for Howard?
I'm just enjoying listening. I know. John, so, like, you guys have, like, a little connection, and I'm just kind of enjoying listening to the stories and stuff. It's so much fun to listen to these – they're just, like, legendary stories. It's just – I don't know. It's just fun to just sit back and listen.
Well, thank you, Tim. So, contribute something, Tim. Do something. Let's have it. Let's hear it from you.
Well, let's. Do you keep up with things that go on in comic books today? Are there artists that or writers that you like and follow today?
I recommend it if you're my age and you think that comic books are no longer for you. I have to tell you that is not true. There's still so much there's so many comic books, so much out there, good reading. There's always something there that you can connect with. And it may not be like people that read comics when I was reading them and back in the day are working on them. They don't realize that the characters do change with the tide of the new people that come in, the wave of new people that come in. And that's how they bring in new people. So a lot of people, you know, my age or something like that, would have trouble identifying with these characters that they grew up with. And I'm telling you out there, I'm saying to you right now, where's my hand? There it is. No, there it is. I'm telling you that go to the comic book store, look on the racks, pick up something new that has nothing to do with a character that you grew up with, and start reading that. And I think you'll find a lot of cool stuff. And then I also follow writers and artists. Like, they always jump from one book to another. So it's something that I like to have. If I find a writer and an artist that I really like, I'll follow them from one book to the next. Yeah. And that's something I recommend to new readers, old readers who want to be new readers.
People get into is they think that everything should be made specifically for them. And
yes,
you have to understand there's so many different, people out there now, and you're trying to reach all of them. So if you read a book and you don't connect with it, that doesn't mean comic books suck and you should stop reading them. That means you should try a new one. And when Miss Marvel came out, I was like, I don't know about this. I don't think this is going to be any good. And then I sat and read it.
Right.
And I loved it because it kind of reminded me of like early Spider-Man stuff.
Right.
This teenager that's in high school and trying to hide an identity from her parents and from her friends and juggling all of that stuff. And it's like,
and also, she's not a national born, she wasn't born here or something like that. So that brings a certain something to it also that Steve Ditko and Stan Lee were trying to do back in the day with Spider-Man. He was not accepted. Peter Parker was not accepted in his own group. So that's one of the things they touch. It's another touchstone that they have with this character. It's a great character. And I really enjoyed that book. It's also Disney's doing something with it. Also, they're going to be
there's a show coming out.
Right. Oh, yeah. And have you been watching Moon Knight? My God, that thing gets better each episode.
Oh, it's fantastic. All the stuff they're putting on has been great.
Hold on, wait. All right, guys, if you haven't watched Moon Knight episode 3, now's your time to jump off. We're gonna probably end up talking about stuff we don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about it. I was just generally mentioning that each episode gets so much better.
Yeah.
Well, I 100% agree, and it was really funny because and I think I even said this last week. Like, my friends who kind of know who Moon Knight is, they're like, all right, I kind of get it. The show's pretty good, and then they're like, our significant others who have no idea who Moon Knight is are lost.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, that's gonna happen. You're gonna want to read these books.
Yeah. Well, they do their best to try to keep you up.
Yeah,
help keep you up with what's going on. This is what I like that about that. They know how to tell the story and how to keep the reader or the viewer up to date with what's actually going on, because they give out little crumbs and things like that. So if you pay attention, you shouldn't get that lost, really.
Well, it's so good for us too, and for comics, because there's so many people that come in and they're like, oh, do you have any like WandaVision stories? Hey, what's a good Loki story? Every time there's a show that comes out, I get young kids coming in. People actually ask me that. They're like, where's the WandaVision comic? And I'm like, well, there's not an actual like book called WandaVision. I said, but here's stories that are inspiring it. You take them to it. And every time one of those shows comes out, and now Moon Knight, we're selling tons of Moon Knight. It's I'm reading Moon Knight with my wife right now. You know, she's enjoying the show, and we're reading Moon Knight and, you know, talking about
That's awesome. I'm so happy. It's happy that you said that. Also, if you haven't seen this third episode, there's a scene in there that really is going to embellish the Moon Knight. There's something in there that is very Moon Knight-ish, so to speak. He's flying through the air and something happens.
Jeez. We've all seen it. You've watched it, John.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You're talking like with the cape, where the cape does the...
I wasn't going to mention that, but now that you did, yes. Yes, that's it. They did a great job on that. It was awesome. That was really good.
Awesome.
I have a prediction that when Amit comes to, Amit is going to kill Harrow. Like, thanks for, you know, finding me. And then Layla is going to be the avatar for Amit.
There are some groups that agree with you on that. Definitely.
Yeah. I feel like that's where it's going. But it's been fantastic. And his performance, Oscar Isaac's performance, is just amazing.
Well, I mean, I've always, ever since that movie played about a New Yorker, a performer? He was very interesting in that show. I can't remember the name of it, but. And it's so different than everything else he's played after.
He was in Star Wars and he was in Apocalypse, and people were like, this guy's, he's not any good. And it just shows you what happens when you have like good writing and good directing to go with a good actor, you know, like the actor can't just carry it himself, you know? So.
Yeah. Don't forget, listen, Dune also.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was in Dune.
He's really done all the big ones. All the big ones. Yep. He's all the big ones.
He is one of the big names now. Yes. Yes. Did you ever get to work on Moon Knight, Howard? I don't remember.
We probably put it in the British books, but that's as close as I got to.
Okay.
I did a lot of pinups of all the characters like that you could think of for the British books, but I never did Moon Knight.
Okay. I was just curious because that would have been right around the around the time that you were there doing stuff. So that'd have been awesome. So, all right. Let's see if I'm going to do one last check, see if there's any other questions for Howard. Nothing in the big chat. Tim, any last ones?
No, that was that was actually my favorite part of this whole thing, because I get a lot of people that, especially older readers, that I don't like comics anymore. I don't comics stink, and it's like, well, when was the last time you bought one? Oh, it's been 40 years, and it's like, yeah, well, right. You know, there you go. You know,
I'm telling you, really... everybody out there my age, go back to the comic book store, pick something out. You're going to find something there that you got that you like. Yep. Definitely, awesome. And May. This first Saturday in May is coming up. You can go in and pick some up for free if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some real good ones too. So
They're starting to filter in, and we're stamping away and get ready to hand them all out. And
another 1,100 coming in next week.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many out there that not everybody carries them all, and so you know, you have to go to every store in the neighborhood. That's what I did when I was a child. Yeah. I would go to every Tuesday, the comic books came out. There were magazines came out Tuesday and Wednesday or something like Tuesday and Thursday. I would go down to the pharmacy, which was a block away from where I lived. And the distributor would throw a wired bunch of magazines, all wired up, throw it right out of his truck in front of the store where they were going to be displayed. So I would go down to the pharmacy before it opened and sit on that bundle of comics until the Mr. Fibus, who ran the pharmacy, came by and eventually understood that he wasn't going to get rid of me until he let me open up the bundle and put all the comic books out for display. That's awesome. And I got, you know, I got to pick out the ones I wanted. And they didn't display all the comics, because comics were like 12 cents, you know?
Yeah.
And you could get a magazine for 25 cents. So he wanted the magazines out more than he wanted the comic books.
Yeah.
So he did not display all the comics, but I got to see them all before he decided not to show them or give them back to the distributor. So that was
fun.
And then I'd go to the other. I'd go to the other pharmacies. There were like three or four pharmacies around, because that's where they were at. They weren't in the supermarkets or anything like that. They were mostly, you know, pharmacies and newsstands like that. But we didn't have any newsstands in my neighborhood.
Yeah, my hometown. It actually just called the newsstand. Or it was the thrift drug. Or the GC Murphy's. Those were the three places that you could buy comics in St. Mary's. And they were all just on a wire rack. And you had to go and pray that you got there before the other guys that were in town that liked comics, because there weren't a lot to be had. So I had a lot of holes in my collection growing up. But I've since then rebuilt a lot of that stuff.
The lady at Woolworths downtown, when she saw me coming in, she would say, "You're not allowed to read those books." She wouldn't leave. I had to sneak by her to get to the wire, you know, the spinner rack, in order to pick some stuff out, because she would come up to me right away and you know, give me a scolding if I was sitting there, if I didn't actually buy some of the books from her, because it was hard by that time. By the time I got into town, I had already picked up all the new books, so I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. Anyway, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't step over your story.
No, it's all good.
No,
that was pretty much it, I think. So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you stop by Three Rivers Comic Con in June and hang out with Howard. Pre-order a shirt. He will sign it.
Don't forget all those superstars you're going to have at the show.
Yeah. Right. Like Howard and Howard. Like I got dueling Howards this year. It's great.
Howard and friends.
All the Howards. I'm just kidding. All the Howards. But come down and meet everybody at the show, because it's going to be a big deal if you are a comic fan to come and check the show out.
You always have great shows. I have to say that your shows are great.
I'm really hoping that the upgrade in the building You know, because like this is, real air conditioning is like a huge thing for me right now.
No, this is like the
are
big
you going to be on the second floor? Or
just, we'll be actually underneath. We'll be on the ground floor.
Okay, cool.
D,
even better.
So
comics up and downstairs.
Yep.
Oh, great. Then I don't have to wheel up to the second floor. I like that.
Correct. Yeah. You can park in the garage and walk right in. Actually, you might even be able to take the T to Steel Plaza and then just walk a couple blocks.
The T is always quicker.
Yeah,
it is. It's like, what, $5 round trip? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm allowed to ride the T for free.
What?
Notice the color of the beard here, people.
Did you get a men of certain age card? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say it, but I think I implied it.
Fair. Well, it's an option, or you can park. People have been asking. We recommend you check out parkpgh.com or download the parkpgh.com app. It gives you in real time how many spaces are left in every single garage, just and the fees depending on what time you park. So just pick cultural district because that's where the convention center is.
I know that's where it is.
And it's awesome.
Yep. I'll be drawing caricatures down there in June. That's where the art festival is going to be this year. Nice. Oh, you didn't mention that I draw caricatures.
Oh,
hey guys, I draw caricatures.
My bad.
I think we sort of did. Full figure.
Yeah.
I do a full figure doing your favorite sport, hobby, or superheroes. And you know, superheroes are my specialty. So you get that's to fair. Be a superhero. And I'll do them at the show, of course.
Excellent. Of course we are very excited. But yeah, guys, just, you know, threeoverscomiccon.com, check that out. You can see our full list of everybody that we've announced so far. And there may be a few tricks up the sleeve yet. Don't count it out, but we'll see. You know, again, Howard, thanks so much for coming on. This has been a blast. It's always great
you made it more fun than you made it a lot of fun. Thank you so much. You and Tim, even though Tim, I knew he was there. So he was making.
I got a little in at the end. I never heard these stories before, so they were really good to. It was a lot of fun to hear this.
Thanks.
Yeah. He did the same thing when Ron Friends was on and telling stories too. So it's
okay. Yeah.
I bet he had. Oh yeah, I was there when Ron showed his work to Jim Shooter at one of our shows. What? Ron always wanted to be a comic book artist. That's what I heard from everybody that worked with him back in that time period, that he, you know, he really worked hard and showed his work. He was very determined, which is what you really need to be if you want to be in this industry or anything in life. You have to be determined on it. And he had a good showing at our convention, our Three River Pittsburgh Comic Show, and Jim really liked his work. So it was good. It was a good thing. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks. Anytime you want to come on, definitely come on. It's been a blast. Thanks everybody who watched and listened. Remember to hit your like, share, and comment.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. And you can listen.
Be sure to contact me for caricatures.
Oh yeah. If they want to do that, how do they do that? Which way do you prefer them to do that? Like, do you have a website, an email?
Shoot me an email. I'm on the internet. I'm not interweb.
What address do you want them to send?
HowardBenderArt.com. HowardBenderArt.com is my website.
Cool.
I'm located here in Mount Lebanon.
Boom. Oh, dude, we need to go to like Lebo Sub sometime too. I love that
place. Oh, I love that place.
Oh, yeah. That's so good. Tim, you're taking a trip to the South Hills, buddy.
All right. I'm in.
Well, give me a call anytime. We'll have a meet for lunch sometimes. We've been meeting the artists have been meeting up at the Mexican restaurant up there. Topolos up on Washington Road. We've been meeting up there once a month.
Wow. Anyway. That's awesome. I get to go to a secret meeting. This is great. All right. Thanks everybody for watching. And we will catch you guys next week. And thanks again, Howard. You can stay on. Don't hop off. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ciao.